From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, April 2nd. I'm Abby Larico. Missouri's 2026 election cycle got a jolt last week when longtime Republican Congressman Sam Graves announced his retirement.
I think it's time for some new leadership, and I also have one more good career left in me, and it's time to pivot to that.
STLPR's Jason Rosenbaum examines how Graves' departure could tell us a lot about where the GOP stands going into the midterm elections. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. The Francis Howell Board of Education in St. Charles County has three seats up for election on April 7th. St. Louis Public Radio's Hiba Ahmed reports from a student-led candidate forum this week that's usually a given campaign stop for board hopefuls.
The candidate forum was organized by student journalists and has been around for almost a decade. But for the first time, three candidates skipped the event. Conservatives Jane Pushkar, Lauren Greenwood, and David Jaworski said they had a different event to attend. Francis Howell Central High School student Michael Purcell said it was a missed opportunity to hear from the candidates directly.
I think it is honestly extremely irresponsible for the other half of the candidates to feel that it wasn't important enough to present themselves in front of the broader constituency.
Progressive candidates Jason Adams, Sarah Dillard, and Kevin McGuire attended the event. They took student questions on everything from financial transparency to book bans. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
The conservative candidates did not respond to STLPR's requests for comment. Grandview R2 School District in Dittmer and Hillsborough in Jefferson County will vote on a four-day school week in Tuesday's municipal election. As STLPR's Katie Grovich reports, nearly a third of school districts in the state of Missouri are turning to the condensed schedule.
The vote comes as five-year retention rates among new Missouri teachers hit their lowest point since 2013. 90% of four-day school week districts in the state are in rural areas, with many districts hoping to attract more teachers. Research shows that shorter school weeks can be a boon to recruiting at rural schools that struggle to compete with wages in urban areas. But Ashley Burley, an education policy researcher at St. Louis University, said the research shows limited effects on long-term retention.
So if one district does it, then another one does it, then another one. So your district where you were recruited from may lose you to another district that has a four-day school week.
Shorter weeks often mean longer class days for students, pushing start times earlier than recommended by education researchers. I'm Katie Grovich, St. Louis Public Radio.
A Senate bill passed last year that requires public approval for the short week. Grandview R2 is one of three school districts in the greater St. Louis area with a four-day schedule. Sunrise R9 in DeSoto will revert to 5 days after missing the ballot deadline this year. The city of St. Louis had 20 homicides in the first quarter of 2026. That's the lowest total in 20 years. The department released its numbers for January, February, and March on Wednesday. It continues a decline in killings that has also been seen nationwide since 2021. St. Louis Police Chief Robert Tracy says he's hopeful the trend will continue.
Looking at who the trigger pullers are, looking at non-fatal shootings, picking up the shell casings, using crime gun intelligence.
Mayor Kara Spencer also credits the decline to programs in the Office of Violence Prevention. While homicides are historically concentrated in North St. Louis, the incidents so far this year are spread fairly evenly across the city. There are still serious questions about how much money the city of St. Louis will have to spend on the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department. STLPR's Rachel Lippman reports that's even as the city is well into the process of putting together its budget for next year.
The city believes it is legally required to give the SLMPD about $210 million. The state-appointed board overseeing the department has officially set its expenses at about $250 million. But the board has also distributed documentation that says the city must allocate $330 million to the department. Mayor Kara Spencer says that number would be devastating to city workers.
And the failure to have a resolution on this very critical matter is really throwing our budget process into chaos.
The board says the $330 million figure is a working number and they have not officially asked for more money. The funding question is likely headed to court. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
The SLMPD is mourning one of its officers who died on the job yesterday. The department shared Officer Gregory Triplett suffered a medical emergency during a training exercise. He was taken to the hospital and died hours later. SLMPD says Triplett worked for the department for more than 30 years. Clayton police say they're still investigating after Robin Marshall Smith died at the St. Louis County Jail last month. Police confirmed her name yesterday with St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley.
Robin Marshall Smith's family says she was on medication for high blood pressure and heart issues when she was detained at the jail. She had been in custody for a week. Loved ones say they want to know if she received the proper care. Tracy Stanton is a founding member of the Freedom Community Center and one of Marshall Smith's longtime friends.
She was loved and people care about her. There is no perfect person, but we all deserve honor, dignity, respect.
In recent months, jail leaders have noted staffing shortages and say funding is lacking. At least six people have died in custody of the county jail since 2020. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
Drug offenders in Missouri could soon be fully eligible to receive SNAP benefits. Under federal law, convicted drug offenders are banned from receiving SNAP benefits, but a proposed House bill would opt out of the federal ban. This would allow all Missouri drug offenders to apply for SNAP benefits upon release from incarceration. Christine Woody is the Food Security Policy Manager for Empower Missouri. She says SNAP benefits can help keep previously incarcerated people out of prison.
Someone who is returning to society after being incarcerated, if they have a lot of social supports, the recidivism rate drastically decreases.
More than 30 other states have opted out of the ban. Similar legislation was passed by the Missouri House last year, but stalled in the Senate. Legislation to bring the Dome at America Center and the attached convention center in downtown St. Louis under the same governance is on its way to Governor Mike Kehoe's desk. The Regional Convention and Sports Complex Authority currently oversees the Dome, which is the former home of the Rams. The Regional Convention and Visitors Commission, also known as Explore St. Louis, oversees the convention center. The Missouri Senate approved a merger 29-1 yesterday with support from both bodies. The city, county, and state will each get to appoint 5 members to the new commission. The legislation also allows the commission to levy a 2% sales tax on purchases made inside the buildings.
Listener support is St. Louis Public Radio's largest source of revenue and makes podcasts like The Gateway possible. Show your support for regional news by making a gift at stlpr.org, and thanks.
Missouri's 2026 election cycle was shaken up last week when longtime Republican Congressman Sam Graves announced his retirement. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports that the Northwest Missouri Republicans' departure could tell us a lot about Democratic strength during the midterm elections, depending on which congressional map is used for the contest.
Graves' retirement was not a particularly well-kept secret among Missouri political leaders. He'd been in elected office since the early 1990s and would likely not be chairman of a major committee, even if Republicans maintained their slim majority in the House. He says the possibility of Democrats taking over the House was not a factor in his decision. Instead, he decided to leave because he has a desire to do something else with his life at 62.
And I've wrestled with it a little bit, and I think it's time for some new leadership. And I also have one more good career left in me, and it's time to pivot to that.
Graves is the 36th House Republican to announce his retirement before the 2026 elections. And given that the president's party typically doesn't do well in midterms, Northwest Missouri State University political science professor Jessica Gracie says Graves' decision could be part of a larger national trend.
For some of those Republicans that are deciding not to run, it might be a sign that they think that, you know, maybe the tide is turning, that you know, it might be a wave election and that their seat maybe isn't as safe. I don't think that's probably the case with Sam Graves.
Gracie is correct that Graves' North Missouri-based 6th District will likely remain in GOP hands in November. But whether the general election is competitive at all depends completely on which version of the district is in effect. That's because there's an ongoing lawsuit over whether the submission of referendum signatures prevented a map lawmakers passed in 2025 from being implemented. A Cole County judge ruled last week that the new map is in effect, but that decision is being appealed. House Minority Leader Ashley Aune said last year that the new 6th district that includes more of Democratic-leaning Kansas City could backfire during a Democratic wave election.
Yeah, if we run the right candidates, if we have the right messaging, and we are out there talking to Missourians about what kind of representation they deserve in Congress, absolutely, this could backfire on the Republicans. It is not out of the question.
If the Missouri Supreme Court ultimately decides that a 2022 version of the 6th district is in effect, Democratic chances of winning the seat go from remote to nearly non-existent. Republican Congressman Mark Alford says the old and new versions of the 6th district likely favor someone who lives in the Kansas City metropolitan area, as opposed to the sparsely populated Northeast Missouri.
So I think someone who is a familiar name to Kansas City is going to have a distinct advantage, much like I did in 2022.
For his part, Graves is not concerned with the 6th district flipping to the Democrats if the 2025 map is used. But he did reiterate his opposition to splitting Kansas City into three districts, contending, like Aune, that it could backfire on Republicans.
I think it's a dangerous game when you start doing mid-cycle redistricting. I just think that that can backfire. And you know, it's hard to tell when it all shakes out, when it's all said and done, if it mattered or not.
With President Trump mired in low approval ratings and concerns about the economy on the rise, it's not out of the question that Graves' longtime fears could materialize in November. And a tighter-than-usual race in North Missouri could be another sign pointing to a decline in GOP fortunes around the country. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Fred Ehrlich edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.